The John Schneider Show on Wyman and Bob. Every Thursday until draft day with Seahawks President of Football Operations, John Schneider.
We eagerly await the arrival of Seahawks President of Football Operations and General Manager John Schneider. He actually did hear his open last week, I think.
Oh, good.
I think he got here in time to hear it for the first time.
So it's me, basically.
Yeah, I think he just is delaying it. Like, how much Wyman can I take? Yeah. All right, let's show up late, then we'll leave before they wrap. And
I'm just afraid one of these times he's going to trip over all the wires coming through here. So
he did once, didn't he?
Banged up.
Didn't he? I think, didn't we
no,
hear?
That was me, Bob.
Well, I know
I was
you
the
have.
One that tripped.
Yeah, I know that will always be true.
Yes.
But I thought I heard, like, I think you and I don't know if it was when we were at the Mariners game or where, opening day, and he tripped over wires and yanked something out. Somebody said, like, he pulled the headphone jack completely off the table. I don't know. But he'll be here momentarily, and people have texted in a few questions, a couple of good questions for John.
Yeah.
866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. So we get him in here, get him set up and ready to go. Once again, missed his open, but he's here. He's heard it, so he knows he gets.
I heard it last week.
You heard it last week.
Yeah.
You get brought in with great fanfare, as you should. Good to see you, man.
Yeah. How are we doing?
We're good.
We're good. Good. How's it going? How was the vacation?
Oh, it was just fine.
Yeah.
It was thanks.
You're 60th, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
thanks
cool.
for bringing that up. We were calling it the 20th anniversary of my 40th birthday.
So, yeah, I said he turned 40 for the 20th time.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Well, I was saying to Dave, I feel like as each day ticks off the calendar and we get a day closer to the draft, that maybe your sleep deprivation grows each day. Does it change? Is there more phone calls, more work, and more anxiousness as it gets closer? How does it go for you?
No, it's pretty much the same. We have the scouts here right now, so we'll be going into the evening with those guys. We had our local visit today, our local workout. Metcalf was there. It's pretty cool.
Who?
Eric Metcalf, his son.
Kidding.
Yeah, we worked out his son. Did you play against Eric Metcalf?
Yeah, I did.
Was he awesome?
I missed him in a hole that was about as wide as a doorway.
Yeah.
Yeah, he juked me.
What was it like? What was it like playing against him?
Oh, man, he was unbelievable. I have a picture of me actually grabbing his face mask and pulling his head off. It was a penalty. We showed it, showed it to DK, and he's like, man, that's a penalty. What's wrong with you?
But how about I interview you?
Yeah.
You just went full Farley there. Yeah. Was it awesome?
No.
Well, he's also doing the Step Brothers.
He's thing. My, yeah, how about okay. we interview you?
Yeah. Let's stop this right now.
No, he was like a total, like Barry Sanders and Eric Metcalf. Like,
yeah.
Yes. I had to dress like Eric Metcalf, like, two towels down the side, high hookup, same face mask.
Because you were a running back.
And a punt returner, and I was blown up, except I was.
I don't think I
wasn't playing at the quite the same level he was.
You think you had the same speed? And
no.
No?
I don't think I would have.
I can also
you.
Say I was a long jumper, too, but he was the national championship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was
it? Oh, national champion,
right.
Yeah, long jumper.
But who are the guys that are coming in? You said local. It's like a local combine,
yeah,
right?
Washington State, Oregon State, and then anybody that's within the metropolitan area.
What about high school? If a guy goes to another place on the East Coast, he's a high school from here.
Yeah, if their residence is here, they grew up here.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we can bring those guys in. So I think we had 30, 35 guys there today. So it's fun. It's, it's a wide variety of guys, some draftable guys, some guys that, we'll be trying to sign as rookie free agents, and then some guys we'll just be inviting to the workout camp and, just telling them to be ready, too. You never know. More of attrition, right? So
yeah. How often do the guys from the local combine end up on your team over the past few years? Has that been something that's been valuable to you?
Yeah, definitely. Probably Jermaine's probably the biggest one we've had.
Yeah.
Jermaine Kearse, yeah, he came. Jake Locker came and threw for us, so that was pretty cool. I was telling Mike, we were just out there, invited Jake, and we were like, hey, you got a cool class of guys, and why don't you kind of come out and just spend the day with us. It's a fun deal. Like, the staff, the personnel staff and the coaches have a blast with it. And also Jake was over there like throwing, and we're like, holy cow, he's gonna throw for us here. This is gonna be great.
John's over there going, this is cool.
Yeah, this is cool. Yeah.
Are you done with your, you talked about the 30 visits you get. Do you have a deadline that has to be done by?
Yep. And we have to be done by next Thursday. So we'll be done. We'll have the rest of the guys in. We've had guys kind of trickle in, and then we had a big night on Tuesday night. Yep. We're bringing the guys down to the stadium. sit down and have a meal with them while they're doing their physicals and interview them and have great interaction, then come back over here, interact with the staff the next day. So yeah, the next day we actually started going through the board again with our area guys. So it's great to have those guys back in the room and just kind of start fresh and hear, you know, how they feel about the spring and what that looked like, you know, for the guys in their area. And then, you know, everybody has more information and everybody in the room has been able to study these guys more as well. And so, you know, and so we just kind of keep bringing in the information. And then our next step is we'll be bringing the coaches in. You know, they've been getting caught up on their evaluations as well and doing their Zoom interviews with the guys. So yeah, it all just kind of like funnels together and, you know, we'll be ready to go in 2 weeks.
It's amazing every time we talk to you
yeah.
From today. Right. Are you guys done?
Yeah, we're done.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you weren't here last week, so we didn't know.
Oh, boy. Yeah, here we go. You were on time when just to punish me.
Really?
Apparently. I can't take a vacation.
Sorry.
What goes into everything? Like how much time you spend on all these players? I got to imagine that, number one, you feel like you get to know these guys, and then, you know, you're only going to get to select, you know, 8 or 10 of them every year. But also, do you kind of keep track? So, like, when you do free agent and pickups and stuff, like, you're like, hey, this is cool because I know something about this guy already.
Yeah,
we did all the work and everything, right?
Great point. You know, I had a young man in my office yesterday. We were talking about, you know, I hope we're able to draft you. If we don't draft you in 4 or 5 years, you know, maybe you'll be looking at us and remembering what your experience was like at the Seahawks. And that has happened to us in free agency in the past where, you know, we've brought guys in, they've had a great visit here. They've experienced the building, they've experienced the atmosphere. And they loved it. And they're excited to come back.
Yeah.
In free agency. So that's a really good point. The other thing is the players are all in the building this week. So now we have all the players back, you know, so there's an excitement, you know, like, seeing all the guys again and then seeing the new guys and the mixture and all the coaches getting to know all these guys now too. So like walking around the halls and seeing all these, it's fun.
Well, a couple of the names we heard that you've spoken to at this point were a couple of quarterbacks, which I think people were kind of going, okay, well, they brought in Sam Howell, but we heard that Bo Nix and Spencer Rattler, you may have had conversations with them.
Yeah.
Is that, when you're doing these conversations, I assume it's, all right, in case this guy's sitting here at this point, we want to know about him. Is it due diligence, or how do you view those things?
Yeah, no, we don't study quarterbacks. We just because we've only drafted two, I get it.
Yeah.
We want to get to know these guys a little bit better and spend time with them. And Spencer's a real impressive guy, and so is Bo. And we just wanted to be able to spend a little bit more time with those guys, have the coaches be able to spend more time with them on the board. You want to, you know, be cautious of their time as well. They're out here on West Coast visits, so try to set those up when they're, you know, visiting the Rams, the Chargers, the Niners, and try to fit those in. We're not going to – we love Sam. We love what we did, being able to acquire Sam. You know, we talked about the age. He's got the experience, but that doesn't preclude us from, you know, what we do in the draft.
Hey, I warned you that this might be a long answer question here, but like we were doing a little breakdown of linebackers. And so I was just kind of going through like how I do it. I look at his stats and I look at his health and I look at the combine numbers. And then, you know, I look at, you know, his film, you know, and usually it's like highlight film, but then there's always lots of things I don't like. But
yeah,
how do you approach like every little thing like that? Like what's the process? Like, let's just say for linebackers, like what are some of the things that you're looking for that are in particular, and how do you kind of, you know, grade these guys based on who they're playing against and things like that? Like, take us through kind of what you're looking for.
Everybody does it differently, Dave, and there's different stages of the year to do it in as well. So I would say if you're talking about college guys, you know, it's during the fall. And in that process, I kind of do more of the old school deal where, you know, I study the whole, like, defense. You have a list of guys on defense, and you just go game to game. And so you're going, okay, corner, you're doing both the corners, you're doing a linebacker and a defensive tackle and an end or something, right?
And these are all names that your scouts gave you, right?
Of these these are prospects. These are guys that are, you know, with national. We belong to the national scouting combine. And so, you know, it's we get that list, and then our scouts have a list as well. So the more people we have to study, the merrier, right? So in linebackers in particular, you know, I was really blessed to be around Ted Thompson, who played a long time, and John Dorsey, and those guys really helped me, you know, with the position in terms of eyes, feet, flexibility, take on ability, hands, you know, stack and shed, like all that. So for me, it's really been a process of just like early on of studying, like kind of creating a library of the different types of linebackers. If it, you know, it's a undersized Will that can run, or a you know, a heavy Mike that can, you know, or I don't know if you guys call them Teds or whatever you call them, but like the guy that can, like LaVon Kirkland's, that can come downhill and take on guards and stuff, yeah, like yourself. So just the uniqueness of it. But, you know, yeah, there's obviously eyes, instincts, feet, flexibility, lateral movement. Notice I said flexibility.
Yeah.
You're thinking
I said it twice.
Hold on now. You're not
that was
judging.
Very subtle. That was
you're not judging me now.
No.
This is the earlier version. Which I told Bob, I go, I know that John would not have drafted me because of my injury history.
Durabilities, yeah.
I wouldn't have drafted me.
Well, the durability thing in the style of play too. So your style of play was didn't really help you in terms of like the physicality, right? So
Dave's got a very serious look on his face.
I know. He wants to kick my.
What are you saying?
Yeah, what are you saying? No, I mean, but I would say your eyes, your instincts, the take on ability, all that was like hand, like, people, you knew how to play.
Yeah.
Right? It was just a different style. And a guy's like that, then it's not, they don't really exist anymore.
Yeah.
They're very, very rare, and they're taught to play differently now. So, you know, Donnie Edwards was the guy that Marty Schottenheimer really coached me up on to play Mike. That was all of a sudden, he was really, if you remember, he was kind of like the first, like, really instinctive, like, non-take on.
Finesse.
Yeah, where he could bend and get under blocks and, like,
yeah,
play that way. And then all of a sudden, you saw more and more guys like that, you know, that could run and had the coverage ability and could get their head around and, you know, feel the crossers behind him and everything. So
Donnie Edwards had like 30 interceptions in his career. Ridiculous.
He was
like
amazing.
That.
Yeah.
Just a playmaker.
Probably one of the more underrated linebackers. Yeah. I don't understand why. Anyway.
Yeah.
But no, it's different for everybody. But then now, for college, the college stuff now, we can get to a point where we can say, okay, you know, they can pull all the point of attack plays for us, right? So they can say, every time this guy's, you know, coming downhill and taking on an offensive lineman, you can do zone coverage, you can do man coverage, you can like.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's got to save you so much time.
Oh,
right?
Totally. Yeah, I was talking to Ron Wolf like last year, 2 years ago, and he was asking me what was going on, and you know, we were just getting caught up, and it was a Saturday morning, and I was in there by myself, and I was like, well, I'm studying corners, and I'm like, check this out, Ron. I'm actually going to watch this guy. I'm going to pull this cut up, and it's going to be all the deep balls, like, thrown at this guy. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to start right now. And I, like, hit the thing. I hit the, you know, the return or the mouse or whatever, right? And the thing's like, it takes, like, you know, 8 seconds to, like, ramp up. And here's, like, 36, 38 plays of every deep ball thrown at the guy.
Wow.
And I'm like, you know, I would sit there, like, in 92 or 93 for all those guys and, like, literally make – beta tapes, like, you know, okay, go through every game and like find all the deep balls, so you could say like, here's
pause,
a beta tape,
yeah, rewind,
yeah, and then we would write down the in and the out, the numbers on the beta machine,
right, yeah,
and then we'd have a stack of papers and give them to the video guys, and then those poor guys would sit there and be like, and they go through and like,
oh my goodness,
make the tapes. So I was doing the
incredible,
all the cut-ups for Ron, and then John Gruden was doing them for Coach Holmgren. So I always like felt so bad for the video guys because they had these like huge stacks of paper and they would literally just be sitting there making these tapes. And now we have the technology is just crazy. So we could say, okay, corners, like, okay, let's watch them in run support. Here's every missed tackle. Like, okay. And then, you know, we could say, okay, well, how's he missing tackles? Is it angles? Is it intent? What is it? So
right.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah, I remember Tom Fermstedt talking to him one time, and he was saying that they used to actually
have
to go and...
Were you guys smoking cigarettes together?
We did not have a heater. No. But, yeah, they would have to take the film and get it developed in Cheney and then come back, and then they'd have to switch film and everything. So, anyway, it's good that you're in this era, right? You got to appreciate that technology.
No, it's crazy. So we're doing offensive linemen. We're working on offensive linemen right now this evening. After we get done with this local workout, and we're going to be able to watch, okay, all the pressures, you know, all the run game, mid zone, mid zone, wide zone, like the movement stuff, like okay, and then it's really cool.
Yeah. As far as the linemen go, I mean, everything's new. It's going to be a new defense. It'll be a new offense.
Yeah.
Do you start looking at different body types? Like, nah, we want smaller offensive linemen who are more agile. Or, we want some big road graders now that are going to fit this.
It's a good question because, we you know, the when we got here, we were looking for the zone, the Coach Gibbs stuff, you know, who's coaching for Coach Mike Shanahan. The cutoff guys, the guys that could really, the quick, you know, we ended up being a little too quick, too undersized, right? Mm-hmm. And you get a, you know, then all of a sudden you change the system and now you're too light, and then now your pocket integrity, you know, is compromised, right? So it's a great question. So no, you have to like have a, we have the same type of body types that we want, and we try to stick to that, and guys that can execute what we want to be able to execute. But everybody, you know, every position, they all come in different shapes and sizes, but you know, with the zone scheme you're talking about, that's a great question.
We promised one of our texters that we'd
in ask terms of ranking questions, that was
it was appreciate that, man.
Yeah.
So they're going, I don't know what's happening here. I don't like it.
All right, so are you guys done? Texter says, looking back, if you could give advice to yourself the night before your very first draft, what would it be?
Wow.
What was your very first draft? Was it 2000, where you're running the show?
2000? Oh, not very first draft, period.
Yeah.
Oh, like you're responsible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I got you. That was 2010, so that was Russell Okung and
Earl.
Yeah, so it was either going to be Russell Okung or Trent Williams. And then it was Earl and Eric Berry. Mm. That was that draft.
Wow.
The advice I give myself, man. I mean, just being, I think maybe just being more patient, maybe. You know, I think we were hyper aggressive and we felt like we needed... Yeah, we did. We felt like we needed a lot. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we made a trade with Tennessee. We traded for Vickerson and Lindell White, and we moved around several times, and we almost moved totally out of an area that would have cost us Earl. So being patient.
Yeah.
Hey, we were just talking. We were playing a clip from Tyler Lockett. He was here speaking with the media. And every time we hear him, we're sitting here going, what a good dude, man. That guy has not changed from the day he showed up to who he is now. And I believe he's the longest tenured player on this roster now with Bobby gone. But do you ever sit back and look at whether it's Tyler or any other player and go, we nailed that? Because not only is he just a quality human being who has never had a whiff of controversy about him, he's arguably the second best receiver in the history of this organization.
Yeah, he's always been. That year was Frank's year as well, and so we really had to have a pass rusher, and we didn't have a punt returner at the time. And Tyler was, we just remember feeling like this guy's like, why do people think this guy's going to be a third round pick? Like, what the heck?
Did you move up for him that year?
I think you did.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pearson's saying. Yeah, but, thanks. I mean, could it have worked out any better?
No, he's just been this steady influence, like this great community, you know, plays the piano. He's a poet. He's a realtor. I'm like, what don't you do? You know, like this guy's
just a quality human, just a nice guy.
No, he's a really good person. The night he set the record for the most catches in the game, I think it was 13, was against Arizona, and it was a COVID year, and it was Arizona and the Seahawks. We were the first teams that had to turn in our COVID testing swabs or whatever and send them to Burbank. And if you didn't turn them in by 9 o'clock in the morning, you couldn't play. And so we were all down there in the morning, and Pete had said, "Hey, he gave a great presentation about this is how we're going to compete in the game, and at the team meeting the night before, and you got to be down here, get down here, everything's got to be done by 9, you can get your breakfast, go back to your room, team meeting at noon, blah blah blah, and what you do is you come, you get off the elevator, you take a right, it's like 1, 2, 3, you go through the stations, get your breakfast, you're good, and we're like 10, it's like 8:50 something, and like Tyler's the only one that we haven't seen him, so we got George to like go up to his room and grab him, and he came down and he's like, "So what are we supposed to do?" And I'm like, "Well, you were at the team meeting last night, man. Go to 1, go to 2, go to 3. I'm like, "Oh man, this is gonna be a bad game tonight." And then he goes out there and crushes it. Yeah. 13 catches and like 3 TDs or something. Yeah. He's just like this amazing, like, yeah. Yeah, that's fun stuff. Those are the really fun ones.
I remember one of the touchdowns he caught it hit him. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Hit him right in the forearm, yeah. And then he caught it, and we asked him about it. He goes, "That hurt."
His ability to track the ball, I mean, even in college, and it was so cool, like for me, because I was with his dad when he was a rookie in Kansas City.
That's right.
And he was always bragging about his son, and it's like, when people do that, you're like, yeah I get it.
Your son's different and unique.
Your son's really good. And then you're finally studying him, and you're like, wow, this guy is. Yeah. His Senior Bowl was ridiculous.
He was. I would imagine the interview you had with him, you were probably blown away. Like, what a great kid, but just seemed mature, and he's the same guy.
Yeah.
Guys tend to change after money and fame and all that, and he seems exactly the same as the day he showed up here.
Yeah. He said to me one time, he said, "It's okay to tell somebody you love them." And I was like, "All right, I love you." He's such a good person, So now when I see him, I just said it to him the other day, I'm like, "Tyler, it's okay to tell somebody you love him. I love you, man."
So funny. Yeah. By the way, was it not the biggest upset in the world, the final episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, where they brought back former characters that Pearson was not brought back?
That is bad. We got to get on those guys for that.
What happened, man? I fully expected as they were bringing that past characters, Pearson was going to show up, and he didn't. That's just disrespectful.
He's,
Did you see his episode?
Yeah. That F-bomb came out pretty easy, didn't it?
Yeah, it sure did.
Pretty natural.
Very natural.
Amazing.
Yeah, one take, they said. John, as always, we appreciate you, man.
Okay, how many more we got left?
Three?
When's the draft?
Do you know? When's the draft?
So, tonight. Two more. Let's go.
Two more. That's it.
Two more. He's excited. It's almost over.
I don't know how you guys do this every day. It's amazing. It's fun, though.
Yeah.
You guys are fun. It's good to see you again in person.
Well, it's good to be in person with you. Yeah. I know you. That's big for you.
It really is.
Yeah.
I'm a people guy, Dave.
I know that.
He's got to look you in the eye when you're talking to him.
That's right.
We appreciate it, John.
Have a great evening.
There you go. There's John Schneider with us each and every week leading up to the opening round of this year's draft. We'll come back, talk about what stood out in this conversation. Coming up next with Wyman and Bob, this is Seattle Sports on 710.
Have you considered surgery or even joint replacement? Hey, it's Dave Wyman, and before you make that decision, see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, at Seattle Sports and Regenerative Medicine. Why? Because he gives it to you straight. Dr. Wagner said my right knee needs replacement, and I appreciate his honesty and expertise. My left knee is fine right now, but the minute it isn't, I'm heading to Dr. Wagner for his expert opinion. I want to avoid another surgery, and I've heard so many patients rave about results from their 90-minute outpatient stem cell procedure with Dr. Wagner. He's a board-certified Seattle physician with over 30 years of experience and has performed more than 20,000 stem cell procedures, using a person's own stem cells to regenerate cartilage in their own joints. People with severe osteoarthritis, even bone-on-bone, are back doing what they enjoy without pain and without surgery. Whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before choosing surgery, see Dr. Mark Wagner first. Go to drmarkwagnermd.com.
Sign up for Mariners Mail to receive presale offers, exclusive content, and more directly to your inbox for free. Mariners Mail subscribers get first dibs on all the latest ticket news and action from T-Mobile Park. Go to mariners.com/insider to join the club today.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Thanks to John Schneider, who joined us in the previous segment. In case you guys missed that conversation, it will be available on the podcast page after the show at seattlesports.com. Just click the podcast tab, click on our picture. It'll be right there waiting for you after the show, as it is each and every night. Click subscribe. You know, that's the most important thing outside of listening to the content. You subscribe, and then it just shows up. You don't have to do anything after that. But good stuff from John as they're getting closer to the draft. He seems very composed. He doesn't lose any sleep. He's just doing our thing. And
yeah,
got all these visits. They got their 30 visits that they'll wrap up here soon. A couple of them I thought were interesting, that they're talking to quarterbacks, and I don't know if that's part of the due diligence or if there's like sincere interest or what their feelings are, but they spoke with Bo Nix and Spencer Rattler.
Would you be like entirely shocked and blown away if they, with the number 16 pick, take Penix or somebody like that?
Yes, I would.
I would not. I honestly would not. I think that they would find some other way to, you know, some way to use him, and maybe, you know, trade somebody or something. I don't know, man. I just feel like...
Yeah, maybe they trade Howell. I don't know.
Yeah, I just get the feeling that, since they just traded for him.
I don't know what they would do.
I feel like, you know, and then asking the question, I think the more that we talk to him, the more you understand that he's going to take the best player available. You know, and we saw that last year at corner, because I'm sorry, they did have enough corners. Mm-hmm. They had Trey Brown, Michael Jackson. They had Kobe Bryant. I mean, it was
Tariq Woolen.
Tariq, yeah, it was coming off a Pro Bowl year. I mean, that wasn't necessary.
Yeah, it wasn't. You're right. It wasn't their most pressing need.
But now you look at it and you go, oh, it was super necessary, right? Because he was the best player on the team, pretty much. So, yeah, it's I wouldn't put anything past him. And I think really that's kind of what comes through. I mean, they're trying to get to know. The other thing too is that you get these meetings, and those help you down the road. And we kind of talked about that with him, that all the work that you put in to these guys. First of all, I find when I do like these profiles on these guys, I get to kind of know them almost. Like, mm-hmm. And they even more, obviously, because they're looking at every one of their games. They're looking at, you know, like I was talking about the one kid, Peyton Wilson, his brother pitches for the Milwaukee Brewers. The other kid, Junior Colson from Haiti, and he was adopted by this family in Tennessee. I mean, you get these people get into your lives, but also it's so valuable down the road when you want to do, because there's a whole, I mean, we're talking about the draft and the college side. There's a whole pro personnel side. And, you know, those guys they're looking for the guys in the NFL that either get cut or maybe they want to trade for, like with Leo Williams. And so, yeah, there's just a lot that goes into it. But it sounded like, you know, he, like I said, compartmentalizes his life. It's like, no, I'm not getting any more or any less sleep. It's just that, you know, it's just we've got this schedule that we're on, and we're getting things done. And, you know, he follows a process.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's interesting, too, because I think you lay that out in times where you're not under stress and go, look, this is how I'm going to, because he was talking about things that he would change, being more patient. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the closer you get to the draft, you'd think that he would get more hyped up. But I feel like he's to the point now where he's been in the league for dozens of years, and then, you know, he knows exactly what the process is and, you know, the disciplines and what works and what doesn't. And so, yeah, he's I think he's a funny guy, likes to joke around and stuff, but he's a very focused, disciplined person.
He's talking to you about Metcalf and playing against him. He's like, was that awesome?
Yeah. Just, no, it wasn't awesome, by the way.
Full Chris Farley there. That's so cool.
I do. I have this picture of me. I remember it was a game in the Kingdom, and it was Cleveland we were playing, and he got past me somehow, and I just reached out. And it's a horrible picture because his head's turned around.
No.
And it's a total face mask, which
did
obviously.
Did you leave your feet?
I didn't unweight myself, Bob. No, but yeah, I mean, it looks terrible, and I showed it to DK, but I just remember Metcalf being a huge problem.
Yeah.
A huge problem. I mean, he was so quick. He was kind of like Barry Sanders.
Yeah, it's interesting just to see what goes into this, and there's so many people involved. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just talk about your pro personnel and college personnel and all the scouts, and you're getting all the so much information, and even the security background checks that they do on every single player. We were talking to that guy a couple of weeks ago. They're not leaving any stone unturned. They're going through social media. They're doing every, and I'm sure every team does it. You're investing in some cases millions and millions of dollars into a kid who has yet to step on an NFL field. You want to make sure he hasn't done something horrible, said something horrible that it's going to blow back on you, and you're going to go, I didn't know he did this, or I didn't know he said that, or, you know, so all these teams are doing their due diligence, and just the amount of work that goes into researching just one kid is unreal.
It's unbelievable. I mean, you think, how many hours did they spend on this guy? You know, like I spent probably a half an hour on each one of those guys we talked about today. And, you know, you're looking at their film, their background, you know, what kind of person are they? You listen to their interviews. And like you said, I mean, that might be a guy that someday you spend $40 million a year. That Josh Allen, the pass rusher down in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
What's he making, like $30 million a year, I think? I think it was a five-year, $150 million deal.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that he's literally just 10 sacks away from the franchise record.
Yeah, already.
So he's done well. He's coming off 17 and a half, but yeah.
But you're investing that kind of money. You want to know everything about it. I mean, like, if you're Boeing and you're buying an engine for your jet, you know, you're going to research that and everything. But I mean, there's the human side of it is where it really goes wrong. And I think that's where the character part of it really, because you know, you control the guy 3 hours every Sunday on the field, but after that, he's out in the world doing all kinds of things. There's temptations, there's money, there's, you know, all kinds of problems.
I wonder if it's better today, if it's easier today, or if it was easier when you were playing, when there wasn't social media. Nobody had cameras on their phones. You had to have a camera if you're going to get a pic. You know what I mean? Everything is immediate. You could go outside and say something to somebody that is considered rude, and there's video all of a sudden. Somebody's got a picture, and it's on Twitter.
Yeah.
Seconds after the event. You know, so back in the day, you could probably get away with a lot more as a player or a person in the limelight, if you will, versus today, where you kind of have access to everything you do. Everything you do is accessible almost. So I wonder if he looks at it like, yeah, it's better today because we know every last thing about every player, or I would have preferred it back in the day when there weren't cameras and cell phones and Twitter and Facebook, social media, where these guys are letting their thoughts out there in an unedited way. And sometimes that doesn't work out well for them when they're out there piping off on Twitter and saying what they really think.
Yeah.
Like Herm Edwards going, don't hit send.
Right. And also everybody pulls their camera out and starts, you know, if there's ever any kind of, I saw there was like an accident somewhere, and I saw this guy out, and he was filming the whole thing, and in I think he was holding his neck because the girl, and I saw the girl behind him barely bumped into him, and he gets out and gets his camera and everything, and I drove by, I rolled down my window, I go, you're fine, she barely hit you, man.
And then he turned to you and went, ow, ow, ow.
Yeah. But I mean, that I can think of some of the things that maybe would have not gotten me drafted. I remember one time there was a lady that opened her door into my truck and totally dented it and scratched it. And I go, thanks a lot. And she goes, you're welcome. So I went over to her door and did some damage.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody would have got that on film, I mean, she totally deserved it. But, I mean, you look like a psycho. And, yeah. You know, or maybe they would go, hey, I like this guy. He's a psycho.
But he's not taking any guff off these people.
No, I think it's a lot harder from that standpoint. The other thing real quick before we go to break, the amount of the film thing of looking up all of those different categories of like deep balls thrown on the corner, that is incredible. I mean, you would have had to sift through hours of tape to find that stuff.
Yeah.
And now, you know, and I remember talking to Tom Firmstead, the film guy. I wrote an article about him on the website one time about 12 years ago, but he was saying, yeah, they almost have too much information now because, you know, there's so many things that you can look at.
Yeah, you can get overwhelmed over analysis there. All right, coming up, Geno Smith had to deal with a question he had never been asked before yesterday. We're going to hear about that when we sweep the dial. Coming up with Wyman and Bob, this is Seattle Sports on 710.
Have you considered surgery or even joint replacement? Hey, it's Dave Wyman, and before you make that decision, see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, at Seattle Sports and Regenerative Medicine. Why? Because he gives it to you straight. Dr. Wagner said my right knee needs replacement, and I appreciate his honesty and expertise. My left knee is fine right now, but the minute it isn't, I'm heading to Dr. Wagner for his expert opinion. I want to avoid another surgery, and I've heard so many patients rave about results from their 90-minute outpatient stem cell procedure with Dr. Wagner. He's a board-certified Seattle physician with over 30 years of experience and has performed more than 20,000 stem cell procedures, using a person's own stem cells to regenerate cartilage in their own joints. People with severe osteoarthritis, even bone-on-bone, are back doing what they enjoy without pain and without surgery. Whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before choosing surgery, see Dr. Mark Wagner first. Go to drmarkwagnermd.com.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Seattle Sports. 710 AM on your radio. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app. Get new videos, podcasts, and articles on the Seahawks and Mariners from your favorite Seattle sports personalities daily. Scanning the airwaves for the most interesting and entertaining stories of the day. Sweeping the dial. Every afternoon at 4:45 with Wyman and Bob.
So we did hear from a handful of Seahawks for the first time this offseason, for the first time since, you know, they hired Mike McDonald. And Geno Smith was asked how it feels to have a head coach who's only a few years older than he is.
It's different. Didn't expect that. You know, that's something that, you know, you don't really expect. But Coach McDonald, he's the guy. You know, he's the guy. He knows what he's doing. He's prepared. He's prepared himself for this moment. And he's going to lead this thing. And I'm the player. He's the coach, no matter the age. And so his job is to coach me, Coach Grubbs. Their job is to coach me, Coach London. And my job is to be receptive, to learn, and to take heed to it, and then to apply it.
Interesting. I'll be very curious to see the kind of year Geno has because, you know, it's maybe he's like Uchenna and he feels like it's a breath of fresh air. But, you know, and that's not always a negative thing, right? But when you saw Geno that first year, and I don't know if the in 2022, if that was, you know, just an anomaly, or we were just so impressed because we hadn't really seen Geno that much, and he came out and had a decent year, like a Pro Bowl type of year. And then last year, you know, it was kind of up and down a little bit, and maybe not quite the same of what we thought we were going to get. So I just think this is a pivotal year for Geno.
I think it's a huge year because next year is not guaranteed in the way that, you know, they're going to bring him back. He does have a much bigger cap hit next year at $38.5 million. They got a 23-year-old quarterback they just traded for. They're talking to quarterbacks, as we talked about, Bo Nix, Spencer Rattler. I'm not, doesn't mean they're going to draft him. But so, yeah, I would say there's a lot hanging on this year, on his performance.
Sweeping the dial.
Tyler Lockett was also asked about the differences between the old coaching staff and the new coaching staff, and he says there's one noticeable difference so far.
I mean, it's been 3 days, you know. The biggest difference is no basketball goal. but we still got one in the indoor, unless they take it out, since I just said that.
They took out the hoop. It was in that the auditorium next door.
Yeah, I know, and it's different, right? It's that's Pete's thing. He would play the music in there, and remember when we'd be out here and they'd start cranking that music in there?
They did today before you got here. Taylor and I were out there, and the pictures were rattling on the wall, and the loud music is still very, very present.
Okay, well, yeah, and that'll be interesting to see if he has any new things that he does. But yeah, Pete was into the free throw shooting contests and stuff like that. But yeah, I see the indoor, whenever we walk through security, there's guys out there shooting baskets. And so
where's that one at?
It's in the indoor facility. There's a hoop in there.
Oh, there is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So they still have that one in there. But yeah, it's just kind of weird to think, oh, that's right, that's a Pete thing. And so they're going to take that out of there. And I wonder if he's going to not do anything, or does he feel obligated to do that? Or, yeah, what's going to be his thing? I mean,
hopscotch.
That is maybe one of the more random things that's come out of your mouth in a long time. Hopscotch.
Sweeping the dial.
I'm trying to picture what that would look like now.
I know. It really caught me by surprise, though.
Yeah. All right. Hey. Well, we'll see how Uchenna Nwosu does in hopscotch, because he's outlining his rehab process, working back from that pec injury that ended his 2023 season last October.
Yeah, it's been a good process. Been rehabbing down in L.A. With John Meyer. He's also the medical guy for the Los Angeles Clippers, so he's getting me right. And I just can't wait to get back on the field. I'll probably say, you know, got a little couple, you know, few weeks, and I feel like I'll be, you know, ready to get back to ball.
It's got to be the hardest thing at this level, and you know this better than anybody, trusting the injury. Like, you can go through all the PT, you have the surgery, you go through physical therapy, you get the doctors going, you're good to go. But how leery are you, if you're him, of reaching and grabbing somebody? Like, I could see him having alligator arms for a while, or like you with your knee. Like, how long did it take before you felt like, I can plant and cut and not think about it? I mean, that to me is almost a bigger hill than just the physical therapy and getting back physically, the mental part of it.
Yeah, it's funny. I just came in contact with a guy named Larry Kerr, who was my linebacker coach at Stanford. And he was there the year after I came back from my injury. And I was talking about how the very first game that we played was at Texas, and we went down there and beat them. But I just remember after the game, going over to the stands, and my mom and dad were there, and they were crying. I was crying because I didn't know. I mean, I'd been through all this rehab and everything. I didn't have any idea if it was just going to explode, or if I could trust it, or anything. So yeah, it takes a while to get used to that. And you know, and then after that, I was still kind of apprehensive. And then there was a play I made in like the third game where I just was like, boom, that's it, I'm done. And so everything was, you know, focused. So you kind of have to go through a process. And for Uchenna, who I think is a really interesting player, just because he's so powerful, and when you watch him, he doesn't look like he's got like a lot of quick twitch. But it's funny, I was looking at Jeremiah Trotter Jr., who was, you know, one of the guys on the list of what we were looking at, the linebackers, and he doesn't look like he's moving that fast, but he is. You know, you can see him where a running back is, you know, actually ahead of him, and he runs him down. And you know, that's kind of Uchenna. I mean, he just goes wherever he wants to go. He's not flashy, but he's a really powerful type of player. So I sure hope that Peck holds up, man, because, and, you know, the rehab now is so good. I mean, he's going to this, you know, the specialist down in L.A. and getting everything done. So he's kind of a guy we've sort of forgot about a little bit.
Well, yeah, we lost him so early. Yeah. So you basically played the entire season without him.
Yeah, what was it, like four games,
I think? Said October, I think, is when he – so, yeah, he was not there long, and he was lost for the season. So, yeah, it's just interesting with big injuries how guys recover mentally in terms of trusting it and doing what they did before without thought. There's probably a ton of thought that goes into it. So hopefully he gets beyond that and becomes a force for this team.
Yeah, he played six games last year.
Was it six?
Yeah.
I thought it was less than that.
Same. Yeah, I thought that was too. But guy had two sacks, 16 tackles, six quarterback hits, two forced fumbles. I mean, man, that guy was valuable.
Wow. So I thought he only played like two or three games. All right, coming up, don't worry. We weren't going to go the entire week without finding time to get him on the show. El Hombre, Michael Bradley, joins us next as we continue live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.